and welcome to the Office Podcast. We are back with season 3, episode 2, and I'm so excited for you guys to actually hear what we're talking about today. It's going to be quite a topic that you do not want to miss. And as usual, I'm not alone, but I'm with my girl, Kia. Hello, Kia.
Hey, Lai. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? How have you been?
Oh my gosh, I think I've got like the typical final or year end fatigue. It's like kicking in hard and it's so bad because I was just until December. And yeah, so I'm just trying to survive. Tried to make coffee this morning but didn't have milk because I don't drink that coffee, just to wake me up a little bit. You can only imagine what a long day it's been. But other than that, all is good, all is well, always fun. We're doing this thing like any young professional should be doing it, right? And how's things on your side?
All good. It's just been a busy Monday. We do record on Mondays sometimes, guys. But otherwise, it's just been busy. And I feel what you're feeling. It's like end of the year fatigue setting in. And it's also been quite interesting to see what our audience and like what our listeners are talking about online with regards to the topic that we discussed on episode 1 about how they are finding working from home. And TilsD27 on Instagram is saying that she feels like working from home has been great and she saved money and all of that, but now it feels like it's been a long time working from home and she's finding it hard to separate work from home.
That's a fair point.
Exactly. And I think we touched on that. That's been quite hard to actually, you know, draw those boundaries. And Tabo L, also on Instagram, says things have definitely changed forever. And I do have to agree with that. And Uli Ziwe is saying that she wants flexibility, work from home. She wants flexibility and working from home is given that, but with the option to go to the office whenever she wants. So I think like a lot of people are actually for that, like the hybrid style of working. So I think like people want to go to the office but not be there all the time. I definitely, you know, get that. And your thoughts, Kia, have you changed your mind from last week?
I haven't changed my mind. I definitely am a hybrid. And I'd love to be a hybrid employee as well, so have the option of going to the office every now and then, because I still do enjoy the ability to just like stay home and get a lot of stuff done, because I calculate the time spent getting ready for work, traveling to work, traveling back, settling in. You're not always in the right space or right frame, so on the busiest days I'd probably prefer to stay home, and then on days where I want to, I feel like doing coffees and lunches with colleagues, I'd definitely love to do it at the office. But sadly, I've been told that we are not going back to the office anytime soon, so I'll probably only see that happening next year.
Yeah, I think a lot of particularly like a lot of big multinationals, like I know tech companies are definitely not going to the offices anytime soon. We've started going back. I think from November we'll be back like twice a week, but also like in shifts and all of that. So it's interesting to see how this is all going to unfold.
Right.
So thank you guys. Yeah. So thank you guys for all your comments. Please keep them coming on Instagram, Twitter, and also on Facebook at the Office Podcast Essay. Please do tweet us, engage with us, and yeah, and we'll hopefully share some of your views on the show. So moving on to today's topic, I am so excited, guys. I've been waiting for this day forever. We are talking about saving for retirement. Yes, and you need to listen to this. So please
make sure
that you are listening. And today's guest is Lungile Mashego, who is a senior marketing manager in the finance and investment industry space. And she's also the brains behind Strip Money Conversations, and she also does a personal finances contribution for the morning show on ETV. Welcome, Lungi.
Woo! Welcome.
Hi.
We need some clappy clappy sounds for this beautiful lady joining us.
Yes.
Today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on your show today.
So, Lungi, let us know, like, let us know who you are, introduce yourself a little bit before we get into this topic that I cannot wait to get into.
This heavy, heavy topic. So I'm Lungile Mashego, like you've said. I've been in financial services as a marketer for close to 10 years now, which makes me feel a little bit old. And I've been in this industry and learning, obviously, how to communicate with consumers around financial products. And obviously, along the journey, there's been so many lessons that I've learned. And when I talked to friends and family, the one thing that I picked up was that they don't know this information. So that's where Stripped Money Conversations, or podcast, came from, is that I've got all of this information. I know a lot of people in the industry. Let's have simple conversations about money. And hopefully a lot of people will learn from that, because, hey, the jargon is intense there by financial services. So we try to simplify it on the podcast. So that's who I am. I'm also a mom to a 2-year-old. I'm married to my high school sweetheart as well. That's me in a nutshell.
That is so sweet.
Great. We are so happy to have you. And one thing that I really like that you just touched on before we even get into the topic is that, you know, like, your podcast, Strip Money Conversations, does, like, simple conversations around finances. And like you say, there's a lot of jargon. There's a lot of, like, terms that no one knows. Even I feel like not even educated people know. And it's not even about, like, a level of education. Is that no matter how educated you are sometimes, but if you're not a finance person, you might not even understand some of those things. And to be honest, I feel like we are done a disservice by not teaching us finances and taxes and all of those things at school.
Yeah.
Out here in the real world, it's rough.
I have to agree with that. And for me, I think it's the stats that scare me the most. Even seeing the different stories, even online on social media, you have all these really, knowledgeable people who are still making really bad financial decisions. And it's not because they don't want to do better. It's just that they don't know any better. And sometimes it's like only experience will teach you. So I'm so excited to have Lungi here as well, because I think we'll ask her some really relevant questions that are not only relevant to the experienced employee out there, but also relevant to the up-and-coming graduate who has just maybe scored their first permanent gig and has to deal with things like pension funds and retirement annuities, but also knowing how to save and how else to put money away for their retirement. Because also, we are the generation that believes in YOLO, right? You only live once. And I think COVID also heightened that excitement to be on some, well, what if I die tomorrow? But then also, what if you live for over 60 years? Then what? So we never really know where we stand. And so I think this is a very important conversation. So I do have to say thank you to Lungi again for joining us today. And maybe we can start live with some of the first questions.
Yes. So I think just to start it off on something that Uki had touched on, what is the difference between a provident fund and a retirement annuity? Maybe let's just start there, because I don't think a lot of people know the difference. I know for sure I didn't know the difference for a long time. I just thought they were kind of the same.
Yeah. So a provident fund is instituted by your workplace. So you'll know that when you start a new job, you're going to get loads of forms to complete. And how it works is that you belong to that fund as long as you are employed by that company. And what that does is that they take a portion of your salary and they invest it for you for your retirement. What then happens is that when you retire, you're able to take your entire retirement benefit as a lump sum, and you can choose what portion of it to reinvest in other funds so that it can obviously work for you in the long term. But before we start, we go there, right? Let me explain the retirement annuity, and I just want to explain retirement as well. What is this thing that we're talking about? Yeah, because that is also, there's so many explanations of it out there. But let's start with retirement annuity. And with a retirement annuity, it's the same goal. It is for saving for your retirement. But anybody can contribute to an RA. You can be employed, self-employed, already belong to a pension or provident fund. Most of the time, this fund that you invest in is outside of the organization that you work for. So you can then think, okay, cool. The fund that my company provides is probably not going to be sufficient for my retirement. Let me find something else out there that will help supplement my provident fund. And what you do then is you go find one and you invest in one. The difference between the two is that on the retirement annuity, because it's so heavily legislated, you can only take 1/3 of your money as a lump sum. And the remaining 2/3 must be reinvested in an income generating annuity. And that is fancy to say, you must take that money and reinvest it into something else that will give you money on a monthly basis that you can live off when you're retired.
Okay.
And just retirement, right? Retirement is the time that you spend when you stop working. Usually that's between the ages of 55 to 60, but people are living longer and some people are deciding to retire at 70 or not retire at all. So now, when you're still young, you really need to start thinking about how you will earn income during this period or save enough money during your working years to ensure that you at least you maintain the lifestyle that you have right now when you are 60 or 55 years old.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's great that we started right here in the beginning, because what we don't understand as Black people is, mostly rather as Black people, and I'm only referencing an article I actually read in SABC News, that a lot of the challenges that we have from a retirement perspective is due to the fact that there's South Africa is dealing with a lot of intergenerational debt. So young people are not taught early in life to actually start saving. So I personally only made contact with the whole retirement annuity and pension fund discussions, I think, after varsity. I don't know about you, Lai, but for me, it was a conversation I only had when I started actually working. So I can only imagine someone who spends a lot of their 20s unemployed, how do they even start having these sort of conversations about retirement annuity? And maybe the next question should be, who, as a young person, should I be speaking to about retirement annuities and pension funds? So do I call a Lungi on Twitter? Do I tweet Lighten? Who do I talk to? How do I get a hold of anyone? So how do I even start? You know, where do I start?
People should start by understanding what their retirement goal is. And once you've decided that saving for retirement is something that you need to know, and it is daunting as you get into it, like we talked about in the beginning, there's a lot of jargon and a lot of things that you don't understand. The right place to start is by speaking to somebody who is experienced at this, and that's normally a financial planner who will assist you in making the right decision for your retirement savings. And if anybody's experience is like mine, so my parents are avid savers, but we've never really talked about investing for retirement in my young age. But when I started, it wasn't my second job, I'd say, that's when I sat down with a financial advisor who threw a lot of papers at me and said, sign here, this is what you get, this, with no clear explanation in terms of what is it that I'm actually signing up for and how should I approach it as a young 21-year-old who's just starting off in the workplace. So unfortunately, as with everything that is money related, a lot of the research you have to do yourself, even before you consult with a financial planner, so that you can ask the right questions in terms of what your goals are and what you want to achieve with your retirement. Using a professional always helps to help you clear up your mind and your decision making as well.
That's a good one, Lai.
That is such a good one. And also, like, I think, you know, I saw this meme online, actually, before I get into that, that say that, you know, as retirement calculations go, I think I'll literally be able to comfortably leave for 2 minutes after I retire, which is quite funny. And so my whole thing, I think, like, what I need to sort of, like, for you to shed a light on, Lung, is that of course you need to start, you know, the younger you are, the better. But like, when is it the best time to start from, like, depending on when you get your job, like what should you prioritize when you start looking at?
That's a very good question. So my famous answer is the earlier you start, the better. You should have started yesterday if you haven't started yet. But the earlier you start, the sooner you can get your money to work for you. Your 20s are really a great time to start because this is a time in your life when you can afford to put away a large chunk of money and you don't have a lot of expenses. I'm in my 30s now, and I remember how inexpensive life was way back then. You know, you're living at home. I lived at home. I didn't have much to contribute in the household. And the first expensive thing I bought was a car, and that was really my only expense. My biggest regret is that I didn't start saving more at that point. So if you're single, because you're in your 20s, you're single, you're child-free, you're just really joining the adult workforce and you're earning adult money. This is a point where you should start saving for retirement because you don't know who's going to take care of you when you're older. And in your 20s, retirement might seem far, but it's actually sooner. It will be here sooner than you think. Let me give you an example that I always give. If you start putting away, let's use 1,000. You start putting away 1,000 towards your retirement at the age of 25, so 1,000 rand a month. And that money gets 10% growth on an annual basis. You could have 5.5 million rand at your retirement. And a majority of that money would come from compound interest. Because when you actually calculated, you would have only invested 480,000 rand. So where does 5.5 million come from?
Right.
It's just you having skin in the game, being in the market, being invested. That's what compound interest does. And that's the benefit of starting early with your investments. If you took that same 10,000 rand and you start now when you're 35, you would earn 40% less because you've missed out on the 10 years of compound interest. So I think that just highlights for me the importance of starting early. And it's not just about your retirement savings. It's about anything at all. We all have goals, financial goals that we have. And the sooner you start saving or investing for them, the better. And the numbers speak for themselves. I don't even have to motivate you.
That is so cool.
That is actually quite, you know, enlightening. And this compound interest, Lunga, that you speak of, can you get off like a regular IA that you have, let's say with, you know, a financial provider, one name, any companies, or via your provident fund, or is it like specific different types of investments?
It would be anywhere. So part of the research that you do when you're going to invest in a retirement annuity, especially if you're going at it independently, is to look at the returns that it provides on an annual basis. And you do that by looking at the product fact sheet. So it's a document that really talks about the product's performance. Mm-hmm. And what you want to look at is, what is the performance of that fund? Inflation is 6%. So you really are looking for something that beats inflation. The example that I gave you of 10% is really the bare minimum of what your investment product should do. So now imagine that amount if you got 15% returns or 20% returns, which a lot of the providers achieved last year. The amount could be exponential. So the trick is to look at the provider that you are investing in and do your research. Don't let the financial advisor choose the product for you without you understanding how much they're going to return. And I think the biggest issue with retirement is with retirement planning is that, and I've seen this in my own family, somebody would be like, I know, I'm saving, you're a saver, keep a 3,000 every month and the money is being saved. But because you don't understand, you haven't built a relationship with your finances to make sure that you check on an annual basis, how is this fund performing? You'll find that in retirement, when you need the money, you only have, say, 200,000. And when they come back to you and they're like, no, the fund performed like this, like this, like this. But because you haven't been able to check how well the fund is performing. And if it's not performing, you move it to a performing fund. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of the anxiety and depression, that's how it occurs in retirement, because our parents think they're doing the right thing, but they're not being invested in what they're investing in. Ooh, listen to that, invested in what they're investing
dropping
in.
Dropping bombs.
But you have to have a very good relationship with the money decisions that you make and be on top of it. You can't leave it to a financial advisor to make those decisions for you.
Jesus, I've been guilty of that until recently, but I have to say, since starting or being employed, I've always left everything to a financial advisor. It's only recently that I have actually started becoming a little bit more active or proactive in actually finding out what this particular organization offers or what this particular financial advisor can get me, or whether I'm overinsured, because there are instances where people really are overinsured and don't even know it. So I have to admit to everyone on this podcast, as well as all the listeners, that as much as, you know, things look cool on the outside, I definitely have been really bad with that. So Lungi makes a really good point there. I definitely have to take my L, but I can safely say that I've become a little bit more proactive in trying to fix that, because it is a reality. And if I'm admitting to it now, I can only imagine how many people out there who are also employed who are not aware of what is happening or how to take care of their savings and retirement like that, as you mentioned it.
Yeah. My challenge to everyone listening is to start off by doing it once a year. I mean, you just ask for the fund fact sheet for that year in January, and you look at how well this fund has performed and what it has meant for your savings and your goals. And then in that way, you can make better decisions. And then you're starting to build that relationship with your money. You can't leave it to anybody else, because at the end of the day, you are the one who's retiring and you're the one who needs that money.
Very true.
Mm. Yeah, that is very true. I've actually learned so much just by that, because I think I also left it up to a long time to actually do that and just make sure that I know what the money is doing, and really, in Lunga's words, being invested in what I'm investing. I love that. I think I'm going to literally put it as
you need to on a trademark plan. That.
You need to actually trademark it, because it's so good, I had to write it down. Lungi, I've got a few other questions, but then I wanted to know about, some tax breaks, tax benefits that come with this. Can you please educate us a little bit for some people who might not know?
When in a provident fund, you'll find that most employers match what you put in. So they'll say, you put in 10%, we'll match it by 10%. And if you're lucky to find an employer that does that, put in the most amount of money that you can, because it just means that they're going to match it, which means that you get more invested into your retirement. That's free money that's just waiting for you, rather than only investing the minimum and they match the minimum. If they say the maximum is 30%, go 30%. Then you know that you're investing a lot into your retirement, and that will only benefit you in future. But okay, so both of those are tax deductible, member and employer contributions. But with a retirement annuity, your contributions are also tax deductible. What this means is that you don't pay any tax in your while you're paying for your retirement. There's no dividends withholding tax or any profit tax that you pay. But when you do retire, you are going to have to pay some tax. So that money will be taxed upon retirement.
That sucks.
Okay.
I can't get away from the tax, man.
So
we just get away.
And I'm so sorry to cut in, but the reason why I want to ask this question is because the tax question goes back to a point Lungi made earlier on around withdrawing a third once you leave a company versus two-thirds that need to stay in. One trend that I've picked up with a lot of people, and it's not necessarily their fault, but also because money is constantly tight for people, but there's this thing where every time people resign, they actually withdraw from their pension funds instead of keeping it and reinvesting. Can you just explain to us what the implications of withdrawing every time you move to another company are? So what are the implications? What are the tax implications? What does that mean for your future savings? Because this is a trend that happens quite a lot with young people are resigning or leaving a company, and then they try and withdraw money for current needs from their pension funds.
Yeah, and I think it's such an easy thing to do, right? Because when you leave a company, they'll ask you, what do you want to do with this money? And who will say, I don't want it? Mm. A lot of people are doing that. And to be honest, I'll admit I did that as well when I left my first job, but because I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. People do that because the money becomes accessible. You start thinking about, okay, cool, how am I going to make a good first impression at my new job? When life was pre-COVID, it would mean maybe I need to get a new wardrobe, I need to buy a car or upgrade my car or whatever it is. And people find use for that money. But what that means is, if you were at your previous company for 5 years and you were investing towards your retirement for 5 years, that amount of money is now lost. So all of the gains that we talked about that were compound interest related are lost. It means that you have to start all over again. You've lost 5 years of momentum while you are to get this money, which is an instant gratification thing. I always say to people, you've never seen that money. You've never touched it. So why touch it now? Think about it as money that you don't have. And then what I always advise people to do is move it on to your next employer. And what that means is that your next employer will just add on to the existing lump sum that you have. And then you still get the benefits of your money growing optimally for your retirement. Now, I understand that a lump sum of money is always welcome. But then I implore people to think about their future selves, because there's nobody else who's going to look after you if you don't in the long term.
Mm, yeah. Agreed. That's actually quite insightful, Lungi. And I know that for a while, because I'm a gay man and I don't plan on having kids, so I really need to have this.
You need to, because you can't rely on any kids to look after you when you are old and gray, right?
Exactly. And Lungi, just, by touching on that with moving into your next employer, can you... Is it possible, like, what if I'm on a different, like, don't want to mention any brands, but like, what if a different service provider was servicing my previous employer, and now moving to a different company and they do have a different service provider? What happens in that case? And is it possible to have two retirement plans?
Yes. So when you leave your employer, you've got two options. One option is to move your money to your new employer. So whoever they use, you can still do that. The service providers that each company use need to talk to each other and move your money across. That's okay. Normally like a 1.5 month process, because, admin is so tedious. But that gets done seamlessly. You don't see the money, it doesn't reach your bank account. They just move it from one supplier to another. Another option that you can have, so we talked about people really needing that lump sum of money. Maybe there is a middle ground, right? So there's mm-hmm. something called a pension preserver fund. It's called a preserver fund. And what you do is that you take your money and you put it into a preserver account. What that does is that it preserves that money. It will stay invested for as long as you require until retirement. But the benefit of a preserver account is that you get one lump sum withdrawal. So if ever you come into a bind or you don't know what to do, or, you're having financial difficulties, you can always use that as something to fall back on, to say, okay, cool, I've got one lump sum withdrawal for the duration of this investment. Let me use that money for whatever it is that I need. So at least then you are having your cake and eating it too, because you're getting a little bit of money and you're still saving for your retirement But obviously, first prize is to just remain invested with your full amount.
That makes a lot of sense.
That is so good. And Lungi, how else can I save for my retirement? How do I diversify? What are options that are available out there that are good enough? I do know that obviously you're not a financial advisor, but I think you know more than we know. And if there's anything that you know that you like to share, that'll be like quite great, and different options of investments that we can invest in over and above our retirement, so that, let's say, as you mentioned with the pension preserver, let's say we want to dip in when we get into hard times or lose a job, or we need to, you know, pay like our house transfer fees and stuff like that.
Good one, house transfer fees. That's a good reason, really, to dip into it. Yes, I'm not a financial advisor, so everything is hashtag this is not advice, but it's always a good idea to supplement your retirement savings, especially if you're just relying on what your company is investing for you. And I always say, the first thing that you need to do if you are thinking about investing in another format is to get a tax-free investment account. Hmm. And I say investment purposefully because there are tax-free savings accounts out there. What that does is that it allows you to save a maximum of 36,000 Rand every year tax-free. So we talked about a retirement annuity where you're going to get taxed at retirement. With this product, there's absolutely no tax, which means that more of your money is going into growth. So I would say if you're wanting to diversify your retirement savings, start with a tax-free investment account. And you can get that from many providers, and it comes in different forms. There are unit trusts from unit trust providers that are tax-free investment-based. There are ETFs, which are exchange-traded funds that you can buy tax-free. And there are also other investment platforms that provide investment services that provide tax-free investment bundles. And what that means is that it's a couple of ETFs put into one, and you can purchase that as a lump sum, and then you get exposed to more asset classes. Woo, now I've just said a lot of jargon, right? ETFs are exchange traded funds, which is basically like a unit trust. It's almost like you're buying a cake. There's an existing cake, and you're just getting a piece of that cake. It's got all of the ingredients. It's got all of the eggs and the chocolate, if it's a chocolate cake, and the flour and all of that. Instead of buying the flour and the eggs, etc., separately, you buying the cake. So you're getting the benefit of the full investment, just one slice of it. That's what an ETF does. And one of the most popular ones is the top 40. That invests in the top performing 40 shares in the South African Johannesburg Stock Exchange. So if you invest in an ETF like that, that already gives you diversity and you get it tax-free, sounds like a good plan to me.
It is.
If you already have it, yeah. If you already have a tax-free investment account, you can think about unit trusts and other types of portfolios, individual shares as well, just to supplement your retirement savings.
Is this what, Lungi, can I ask, is this what people will refer to as liquid assets? Because I've heard people talking about making sure that you increase your liquid assets when it comes to planning for your finances in the future.
Yeah, so depending on which shares and unit trusts you purchase, you can refer to them as liquid assets. And what a liquid asset is how readily available that money can be when you need it. So if you then decide to go into an investment that locks your investment in for 5 years, that is not liquid. But if you do a tax-free investment account, which allows you to withdraw at any point of your investment, that is liquid. So it's about accessibility.
Nice one. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I am learning so much today. My God. Like learning so much. I hope you guys have been learning too. And I don't have any further questions. Kia, do you have any further questions for Lungi?
So I actually want to share some stats from a report that came out this year. So it's the 10 times investment retirement reality report. It comes out annually and it, you know, they survey a large number of South Africans just to see and test where we're at from an investment perspective. And I thought, let me share some facts. Obviously, you guys can go and check out their website directly. But, you know, I just wanted to share some 2021 stats that are a little bit triggering and a little bit sad. But COVID has certainly had a taken a toll on finances in every household. And what we're also seeing is half of the report respondents admits to not having any savings. And a lot of them are not even planning, you know, not even one, or it says rather not even one out of 10 are planning for retirement. And then on the earlier on, they also talk about 50% of the respondents actually planning for retirement. But looking at the other 50%, or rather the 50% that is already planning, 50% of those, that 50% doesn't even know how much or know much about their plans. And that goes back to Lumi's point about us not being proactive in checking, you know, fund fact sheets and understanding exactly how our funds are actually performing. Only 39% of respondents in the survey believe that they understood their fund. 64% of people surveyed could not even afford to save. So let's just take it there, because according to Stats South Africa, we are actually dealing with 49.2% of South Africans who live below the poverty line. So imagine being part of that 49% and not even being able to meet your daily needs and now being required to actually save. So that was a scary stat. And then I also saw that 74% of respondents said that they will need to supplement their income after retirement. So meaning, and I'm going back to Lungi's point about how else can we, you know, support our pension funds from work, the RAs, looking into the liquid assets. A lot of people can't actually live off the pension fund alone, so they will need to supplement that. And some people will probably start businesses or side hustles or anything of that sort. So those were some stats that I read about and that were a little bit scary. I would recommend that everyone do go there, 10 times investment. So it's about 10x. .co.za, and they've got the retirement report there. I think one of the saddest things for me was the fact that of the, you know, of all these stats, women are the hardest hit, because women at retirement age have a higher life expectancy than men, which means we require a largely bigger retirement savings pot. However, we actually earn approximately 30% less than our male counterparts on average. Mm-hmm. So those are some scary stats, but I would definitely, what we'll do actually is share the report on our social media pages, because I'm quite keen to have the masses read this, and then it might just, you know, spark something in you to want to save a little bit more and do a little bit more for your future. I know it's YOLO, but I think let's rather play it safe and start saving. Yeah.
I think we can get a balance. That 10X report for me is always sobering. I think it's probably I'm one of the first people who reads it when it comes out. And each year you think it's going to get better, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's another stat that says only 6% of South Africans can afford to retire well, which means that the lifestyle that you're living now, you probably won't live it in retirement if you don't make the right changes.
Yeah, sure.
And
like, and then you have lemonade pockets for champagne lifestyle.
We're living our best lives now, but then if you can't even afford the same lifestyle you have now when you're 55, can you imagine how long your life is going to be? And let's remember, the government grant is 1,900. At this moment, what do you do with 1,900 rand? You probably use that to pay one bill. And what about the rest of your life? It's sad. It's triggering. That report is always sobering. So please share it with the listeners. I think they'll be very interested to see what's in there, and it will help scare them into making the right decisions.
Probably will. Probably will.
I think more of us need to start reading that report, to be honest. Mm. And, you know, like when we're just discussing this report right now, I just thought of a few things. Lily, what happens if, like, you know, I'm a young person entering the work market, but like my company doesn't really offer, you know, like a retirement fund? What are the steps that I need to do to do that? And also, like, you know, to put in context how much people earn when they start working, and usually it's not like that much. So are there small efforts that you can start doing to just start cultivating yourself to be in a better financial space and thinking about your retirement?
First of all, the first thing you do is to get that tax-free investment account that I spoke of. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's the first thing that you can do to help yourself get there, to give yourself that kickstart. And a lot of the financial services providers actually do cater for the younger person who's starting off working. I mean, you can invest in a retirement annuity from even 200 grand a month. So it's a matter of you deciding, okay, cool, this is what I need to do for myself, and speak to a financial advisor and get their opinions on how you can get started with that. There are many, many options out there. So although we are all in a dire situation where we are all cash strapped and really saving and investing is a luxury, if you do have that extra 100, 200 grand every month, start there, and then, you know, you'll catch up when you earn better or when you can afford to at a later stage. At least establish the discipline of getting started and saving towards your retirement or for your future self. And then that will help work better for you. And a lot of young people struggle with this retirement thing, right? Because even now, as I'm sitting here, I'm in my 30s, I can't imagine my retired self. Yeah. I can't imagine my future self, which is another reason why people are not doing it. It's like, I'll think about it when I'm 40.
Yeah.
But I challenge people to sit back and think about their future selves. Remember a few years ago, there was that face app where you could take a picture and then it would age you. Maybe take one of those pictures and say, look at it and think about what is this person going to be earning every month? Mm. What is this person going to be relying on? Who can they rely on? If you don't have those answers, then you must really start thinking about how you can get yourself to a good place in retirement.
Sure. Sobering. Mm. Sobering much.
Sobering, but then, you know, the hard truths that we need to know and that we need to actually, you know, consider. And yeah, guys, you know what? I feel like money is always a tough conversation, but it's the conversation that's always worth having. Mm. So thank you, Lungi, for actually championing this and, you know, teaching us a lot about saving for retirement. And guys, if I haven't stated enough from what Lungi said, you need to be invested in what you're investing. Trademark that, Lungi.
We're actually going to make it a post.
I think
and a quote.
So.
I'm going to put it brilliant. Up for everybody to see it.
It is brilliant. Yeah, and also, guys, look into the tax-free savings account, as Lungi mentioned, and just make sure that you start saving as soon as you can. I know most of us are late, but you know what? Better late than never. So the sooner you start saving, the better. Thank you so much, Lungi. This has been quite insightful. I have learned a lot, and I thought I knew a few things too, but then I'm like, you should have seen my face half of the time. I literally was just like, gusting.
Thank you so much, Lungi. It was really helpful, and hopefully our listeners have taken some nuggets and actually do something with it. But we will make sure to share a lot more with you guys from the conversation with Lungi on our social media platforms. So make sure that you follow us at Off the Office Podcast SA.
And it's time for tea time. You know, one of my favorite parts about the show. And I cannot wait to discuss this week's topic, and we're discussing the Nando's debacle. What did you guys think about it? Okay, so let me just give like a brief background of what happened, and then we can take it from there. So as you all know, that Gareth Cliff has the Banning Platform, which is on Cliff Central, obviously, that he hosts on his show. So, you know, they touch on a lot of like hot topics, burning, and it's sponsored by Nando's. And so like on the 21st of October, they had an episode that featured Gareth Cliff with guests Muduli Rakivani and John Steenhuizen. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Not really sure. My
Steenhuizen. Doesn't really matter, to be honest.
So anyway, so during that whole conversation, you know, obviously they were talking about a lot of the politics and elections and, you know, and service delivery and all of that. And during their, you know, their discussion, Gareth Kiss basically was talking over Muduli and not letting her, you know, air out her views, and then continuously saying that her opinions were unimportant, and her opinions of being how she was being affected, like as a Black woman in South Africa. It was so crazy. I'm sure you guys, you know, have heard about it or seen about it or, you know, watched the show. So it's quite insane. What did you guys think about it before I get into my little digs?
On my side, I didn't follow the story in detail, but I definitely caught bits and pieces of it, and I got to read the statement by Nando's. I think, you know, one doesn't even need to read everything to know, you know, what's right and what's wrong. I definitely do have a stance, and my stance is that, you know, in as much as Nando's believes that everyone deserves to have a say, I think that podcast or that recording took away from at least one individual's right to say how they feel or how they experience the world, or at least give us a view of how they see the world from their eyes. So I honestly was a little bit disappointed by the brand's response to the entire thing. Firstly, it took them hours, I don't know, to deliberate and decide whether or not what was right and what was wrong. I think also coming, and maybe I'm going to play devil's advocate here, it's not always easy to come up with statements that quickly, especially when something is of such that could cause massive reputational damage. And that's only because I work in an industry where we always need to be awake and know what, you know, and know exactly what to say, when to say it. They were clearly unprepared for this one. So it was a very disappointing thing to see and experience. And it only, I think, for me, goes on to confirm exactly what people of color in the country have to experience on a daily.
Yeah.
And on my side, it was so disappointing to see. And only because, I mean, what we saw there was what happens in many boardrooms in South Africa. I have been in a situation where I felt like I cannot say things. And or my voice does not matter. And I think it was triggering for me in that respect, that we still find ourselves in a place where people can be so confident in their opinions and in their stance of how things are supposed to be, that they disregard the feelings and opinions of somebody else. So it was definitely disappointing. We know Nando's as a quirky, very quick to the ball brand, right? And also being in the industry, I understand that these things take time, but it took so much longer for them to come out with that response, which is really unlike them, which then begs the question, do you even know what you're sponsoring? The biggest lesson for me as a marketer from this debacle is to always know what you are sponsoring, because in some instances you sponsor a platform because you look at the numbers, right? You look at this podcast has 5,000 downloads every week, and therefore it makes good marketing sense to sponsor it. The lesson for me here was look deeper than the numbers, understand the people in the room, and understand how they engage with other people. It's not just about the numbers. So Yeah, it wasn't a good weekend story to follow up on and read on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you both said. And I think, you know, like for me, I think there were like two things that I really battled with, or rather, you know, had a lot to say about, whichever way you like to take it. But for me, it's like, you know, to your point, looking about, you know, what happens in most boardrooms in South Africa, I just felt like there was so much subtext to that interview. Like it was, you know, there were like undertones of like sexist and above all the disrespect, you know, because I feel like had Muzuli been like Anel Mdoda in that conversation, that wouldn't have happened. And I feel like Garth is smart enough, he knew what he was doing, and you know, like I don't think it was like any in any way like, you know, slip of the tongue or whatever. I just feel like, you know, it was just how you felt at that moment and whatnot. And I also, you know, and which was disappointing because I think he's like a fabulous broadcaster. But then again, like sometimes, you know, you can't separate certain things. And yeah, so I just felt like, you know, there's like a lack of respect and there's like quite sexist, even how, you know, John was sitting on the side and not saying anything. And you can even see from, you know, the statement that was released by both parties, like, you know, with Nando's and also like the DA, like pretending like they don't agree with everything that happened in that podcast. Meanwhile, he didn't say anything and he's the leader of the party and he clearly saw what was happening. And I mean, like a Stevie Wonder could see what was happening. So it's just like, it's so crazy to me. I don't understand why it like had to be escalated to that point. And also with touching on what you said, Lung, about what brands need to learn from this, you know, like learning what you're sponsoring, but it's also learning to be prepared for like crisis comms. I think it's something that we do not focus enough on as brands. Like in general, I work in advertising, so like, you know, I'm speaking from experience for over the years that brands need to literally have a crisis book that is always there for that day that things just go left and you know, like how to sort of like plan and how to, you know, action certain things. And I particularly didn't like what they went out with on Twitter initially. I just felt like it was not good. I felt like the actually would have rather stayed a bit longer and come up with something a bit substantial than like that whole tweet that they did initially. I just thought like that was, you know, it really made me grind my teeth. Yeah. And even their statement, what was quite interesting to see was that obviously they did terminate their sponsorship of the burning platform, but it was also them leaving out John out of the whole equation. And of course he wasn't saying anything, but for me it's like if you are in a situation where someone is really being treated unfairly and you do not say anything, you are guilty. And you know, and it's just like one of the things I feel like people need to take responsibility for certain things. So I was quite disappointed by those things, and hopefully our favorite our favorite chicken place can do better next time. And hopefully this doesn't, you know, like I don't know if it's going to affect, you know, like their reputation in big ways in terms of like profits, but I definitely think from a sentiment point of view, particularly from like social media and online, it has definitely created a dent.
Yeah, I think the majority will probably still be heading to Nando's or anything of that sort. But yeah, I think Nando's just needs to, and I actually feel like they know exactly what they're sponsoring. They just don't care. So I feel like they need to just get it together, and they're playing politics is cute, but I think they need to know when to draw the line as well. So that's my final parting shot there.
Any final thoughts, Lungi?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's such an unfortunate place that we found ourselves, well, they found themselves in. And, you know, Gia, you mentioned that you think they knew exactly what they were doing and what they were sponsoring. And I think Gareth Cliff is a charismatic guy. We all know his previous scandals and all of that. So I know with every brand, before you engage with anybody, you do your research and you find out who the person is and you, they, they dig up your skeletons. Mm-hmm. I mean, we dig up your skeletons, whoever we engage with as brands. So they definitely knew the risk that they were taking. And I completely agree with Lighten that crisis comms is really one of the most underrated things in marketing. And it becomes so important when you need it, but when you don't, it feels like you don't need to do it. So yeah, I think brands should really focus on that as well.
Yeah, I think brands are treating crisis comms like us, the young people, treat retirement saving.
Ooh, you took it there, like such a jab. Such a jab. Be ashamed of yourself.
Love that.
And on that note, guys, thank you so much to our guests today, Lungile Mashego from Strip Money Conversations, and also a contributor for The Morning Show on ETV under Personal Finances. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciated it, and we learned so much.
Thank you. I love being here.
Great, guys. And thank you for listening. And you can join in on the discussion online via our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Office Podcast SA. Make sure that you follow Lungile's podcast, Strip Money Conversations, on all your reputable podcast platforms. And also follow her on Instagram at Strip Money Conversations. And Lungile, are you also on Twitter under the same handle?
Yes, we are on Twitter under the same handle at Strip Money Conversations.
Great, guys. Let us know how you're doing in terms of like your retirement, what you're thinking, what you learned, what you're excited about, and we cannot wait for the next episode. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lai. Thank you, Lungile, and it's been awesome.